Securities offered through Peak Brokerage Services, member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Independent Solutions Wealth Management or Blackridge Asset Management. Financial Guys, Independent Solutions, and Blackridge Asset Management are not an affiliate of Peak Brokerage Services, Inc.
Well, this country changed that. This country created that middle class through private property ownership, through the ability to own your own land and for you to decide what you did with that land, whether it was milk cows or beef cows or corn or soybeans, whatever you decided, that was your decision to make. Live or die by that decision. All right, welcome back to Financial Guys Podcast. Heterosexual Glenn here with straight white Mike, he, him. And Mike Spiraza, actually, that is, and from Mike Lomas. They're both straight white Mikes. And
both he, hims.
And we have straight white Mikes on the mic in the morning, too. So he, hims, interestingly enough. Anyway, I got a lot to talk about today. Going to jump around a bit, really. There's a lot in the, obviously, in the media and the news. I'm going to start with this, though. We didn't have a chance to. I did the morning show with you. It was a lot of fun on Wednesday morning. I really enjoyed the live. And if by the way, folks, if you haven't had a chance, we're now live streaming on Twitter every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Soon we'll be streaming, I believe, on Rumble and some other places as well. But Twitter seems to be the easiest spot, right? It's at FinGuys is our handle. You can go to thefinancialguysmedia.com and you can find all the different links right there. But we're streaming every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. So sometimes it's going to be Mike and I, Mike Spiraza and I. Sometimes it'll be Mike Lomas and Mike Spiraza. Sometimes it might be Mike Lomas and myself. And we're all going to mix it up. So Monday, Wednesday, Friday, you know, tune in 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock for a live feed. And we do have a text line. So we'll probably work in either, you know, tweet your question at us or text us in or something at some point as our listener base and followers begin to grow there. So, again, financialguysmedia.com. It's amazing how we've gone so far in this country in just the last 20 years. Like, if you were in a coma 20 years ago and you woke up today, Mike, you'd be like, where am I? Like, what? I mean, you got young individuals cutting off body parts. You've got what was a civil conversation where we were trying to get kind of, you know, together. I felt like as a community from a race relations standpoint, I feel like pre-Obama, right in the early part of the 2000s, we were probably one of the best places we had been in a huge chunk of my lifetime as far as, you know, opportunities and things like that. And now today we're at a point where it's like, man, it's everything is bipolar and everybody hates each other and a lot of it is just ramped up rhetoric. Like these you know, everyone's looking for video, you know, clicks and content. You got AOC out there preaching, making no sense at all. This video I thought was interesting. This surface,
Justin J. Pearson.
Oh, sorry.
Justin J. Pearson.
This surface of Justin J. Pearson, as you noticed. This is Justin J. Pearson, one of the Tennessee representatives that was expelled from the House, right? Now, I want you to get a glimpse of the before and the after, okay? And I don't know if there's like some Al Sharpton training that they go through or whatnot, but you go from a very, you know, what seems like a, you know, logical, you know, well-spoken platform to just absolute rhetoric. So here is Justin J. Pearson, to, you know, years ago, and I'll just play the whole video, and then we'll talk. He's a total fraud. Total fraud these guys are, sadly. And this is part of the problem with why we can't have honest conversation in this country anymore. But let me just play this this piece here from Tennessee Representative Justin J. Pearson.
And I'm running for president of BSG. There are a few reasons that we're running this campaign this year. One has to do with representation. How can we represent all voices in a conversation? I wanted to do this by partnering with organizations from the Boone Democrats to the Boone Republicans. I want to bring together different voices, dissenting voices, voices that may be more liberal or more conservative, in order...
That sounds good, right? We should all be talking like that. That'd be great. That was then. Here comes now.
We can reach a point of sort of the radical middle.
Seem like the NRA and gun lobbyists might win.
Same guy.
But oh, that was good news for us. I don't know how long this Saturday in the state of Tennessee might last. But oh, we have good news, folks. We've got good news that Sunday always comes.
I mean,
Justin J. Pearson, and I'm running for president of BSG.
I mean, seriously. I mean, you go from, I would like to form a coalition of both Republicans and Democrats where we can get together on like-minded. And now the NRA, and oh my God, I've walked a mile in your shoes, and they need to be president. What the hell is that? What is this? I mean, come on, man. Look, here's the deal. Just, you know, no one's going to listen to you like that. Well, we got to go after the NRA. We got to. I mean, come on. You're a state representative. You should have been expelled. You're a clown, Justin J. Pearson. You're an absolute comical clown, okay? Nobody talks like that, right, except for Al Sharpton and the rest of the race hustlers. Are you a race hustler now? Is that what you are? I mean, these people are absolute fake clowns, every one of them, every one of them. You know, I'd like to get together and work together, and it's a joke.
And Glenn, I'll say this. You said 20 years. I mean, from the time I was in high school, which was 14 years ago to now, or 13 years ago to now, was insane. I don't even know if it's been 20, even college, right? Like, when I was in college 10 years ago, we didn't hear, you know, this race stuff all day long in school. Social media even then. I mean, I think that if we're looking at it realistically, what's killing America is social media. It's TikTok. It is Twitter. It's Facebook. It's Instagram. It's people that want to just be something that they're not, and they're obsessed with it. Like, a guy like this, Glenn, is obsessed with being a voice when he's really nothing. He's a nobody, as you said.
Right. Well, now
and
he
that's
is.
That's the problem.
Now he went on USA. So, again,
well, right.
here
right.
we go. We talked about this in the morning show. You're going to glorify people that are, you know, doing, you know, ridiculous things. He was expelled for a reason. He was expelled because he was acting like a fool, and he was, you know, out of decorum in the capital of in Tennessee. I mean, you're a legislator. You're not a. Imagine if some of the Republican lawmakers of January 6th went and joined the crowd of protesters. Oh my God, are you kidding me? But you know, we'd be hearing nothing. You know, and right, probably rightfully so, right? I mean,
right,
and this is what
right.
this guy did, right? There was a guy in another state house, Republican, years ago. I don't know what state it was. I think it was Oregon, actually, that did a similar thing. He walked off the floor. He protested. Not only did they expel him from the House for the assembly, they prosecuted him. They went after him. They fined him thousands and thousands of dollars. That's what we should be doing. These guys are going on TV. They should be being fined right now. You know, we just go not far enough. You know, we go almost go there. And you watch the Republicans in Tennessee be like, all right, we'll give you a job back. But these folks are allowed to go on USA Today, and they're there smiling now. Six people were killed in Tennessee, and the picture of and the shit eaten grins that they have at the Good Morning America show, whatever they are on, like your fame is because six people were gunned down by a trans lunatic.
Well, how
it's
about
just
these
sad,
same
man.
People,
so
though? These same people, these lawmakers, and then the protesters inside the Tennessee Capitol were holding up the seven fingers
right.
for seven people killed that day.
Right.
The trans shooter was not a person we should be saying he's one of the seven. No,
right.
he's a piece of crap, or right. she's a piece of crap. It's six. Six people were killed that day.
Right. That's right.
They're nuts. These people are nut jobs.
They're nut jobs. You know, let me just pivot for a second. Talk about we were talking earlier about the Republican Party, and I wanted to follow up a little bit on that conversation in the 8 o'clock live show. Yep. The Republican Party going forward not only needs to find their stones, but they need to find their message. What is the Republican Party platform? You know, what do these candidates stand for? That's what I want to start to hear. I got to be honest. He's got no chance in hell. But I like this Vivek Ramaswamy guy. Mm-hmm. He's the only guy who's actually come out and said, here's the steps that we need to take to restore America. Make America Great Again as a campaign was very successful because people get engaged in the promise of what America could be and what once was. We want to get that glory back. We want our reputation in the world standing back. But I don't hear that. You know, I'm not hearing that from Trump. I'm hearing a lot of, you know, have pity on me. They're prosecuting me. They're railroading me. Yeah, you betcha they are. But I like the message of they're not coming after me. They're coming after you. I'm just standing in the way. But he needs to start to spell out what the future of America looks like under a Donald Trump presidency. And so does DeSantis, by the way. But here's Vivek Ramaswamy, the only guy out there actually doing that. And I think he's doing a wonderful job. I like this guy.
In education, reform the administrative state. Actually, you want to talk about solving the fentanyl crisis using the military to get that job done? That's something I've pledged to do. Not just building the wall, but using actually the U.S. military to secure the border. These are policies.
You may run into legal issues with that.
Well, actually, we've studied this actually in depth, and I'd love to go into depth with you. I think that that's actually a mistaken.
Yeah. Okay. So here's the clown on who is this clown on? Meet the Press? Who's the guy with the Meet the Press anchor? Well, you might run into problems there. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Constitutional Scholar. You know, you have no idea what you're talking about. The opportunity.
Is that Chuck Todd, Glenn?
Chuck Todd. Thank you. Chuck Todd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. So you're telling me, Chuck, you can't use the military to protect our borders? Is that what you're saying? Are you saying that if, you know, Guatemala decided to invade the United States on the Mexican border, that we couldn't use the military to protect it? Is that what you're saying? You may run into legal problems. Seriously? You might run into legal problems. This is, again, here's the left. They want borders, right? They want this.
Well, they don't
chaos.
Want to solve problems either. That's the problem. They never want to actually solve a problem.
Your video is gone for some reason. Live video will return when you have internet issues going on, but I can still hear you, which is fine. And I have a warning. Ann came up that says she has Riverside open in other tabs, which might be an issue. But I'm going to keep going because I can hear you anyways, and this is more of a video.
I can see you
so
and hear you.
That's fine.
Yeah.
So maybe, Kelsey, if you're listening, text Ann, or Ann, if you're listening, close out your other screens or whatever, or I'll text her. Let me finish the rest of this Vivek Ramaswamy clip.
Exception. Mm-hmm. It's spoken to actually a lot of legal scholars on this, and we could have a whole episode on that. But even taking on affirmative action, mm-hmm. abandoning the restrictions on the American energy sector, I think these are things that I will be able to take to the next level because we're doing it on principled moral foundation.
See, platform. Here's what we need to do, right? We're going to reform the administrative state. We're going to shrink the size of government. We're going to yada, 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 right? So those are platform, pieces, right? Those are tenets of your platform, the things that you're going to do, right? So I don't hear that I don't hear that from any other candidate outside of this guy. So I think he would be a great running mate, and then I think that that he would be a great presidential candidate for another in the future. Even this time, I'd vote for him. I would vote for him in a millisecond. If my choice is Vivek Ramaswamy or Mitt Romney, I'm voting for this guy. I'm voting for the business guy. And honestly, I'm voting for the platform. A lot of people ask me, are you going to support Trump? I would. If the platform is make America great again, and it's about the future of America, and I hear the things that I want to hear like this, when I hear reforming the administrative state, he's talking about taking a chainsaw to it. That's what we need, right? I want to hear those types of platform pieces.
And I think Vivek's smart because he knows he has to separate himself, right?
Right.
And that's what you got to do. And he's saying what he believes, and I appreciate that.
Yep.
Glenn, we talked about DeSantis versus Trump on the morning show today. And, I think DeSantis is doing this little prance around the country and really is just feeling things out. Obviously, I think you would agree he's running in 2024, whether we agree with it or not. I think he is. But to your point, both of them, and I want Trump to come out and say something about COVID and that, hey, I'm not pushing the vaccine anymore. The last time he spoke about COVID, he was still pushing the vaccine like it was a good thing.
Right.
He's got to go back to, like you said, what made him the candidate in 2016 and 2020, which was making America great again and fixing the major issues with the border, with foreign policy, with drug and mental health, all that stuff.
Right. And he's, that's the platform that needs to be talked about. He needs to talk about going back after and shutting down the FBI. I hate to say it, but the FBI is the most useless, and not even useless, it's beyond useless. They're corrupt. They're the KGB now. They're intimidating their political enemies. They're being used by the Democrat Party as the brown shirts of the 1930s and 40s. And don't tell me they're not. here's a story. DOJ admits that 13 Proud Boys involved with January 6th, 8 or more of them were paid by the FBI. So let me just get this straight. Of the 13 Proud Boys that were involved with January 6th, Eight or more were paid government employee informants.
So one is bad enough.
So you're telling me out of a group of 13 that two-thirds of the group were government plants that were helping to organize this? Folks, this isn't a – that's a setup. It was the same story in Michigan. It's the same story over and over and over again. Yet, when somebody calls the FBI and says, this kid right here is going to shoot up that school right there at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, right? They don't do anything. Nothing,
Isn't that a crime, though, Glenn? Like, if you went as a cop on the street and tried to solicit somebody to, you know, sell you drugs or a prostitute, isn't that illegal?
Yeah, it would be. But, if you're an FBI person and you're working at the behest of the Department of Justice, who prosecutes you? Department of Justice, right?
Right.
Department of Justice is just as corrupt, sadly. You know, the question is, what do they have on some of these people? Right. But the department, the FBI, I mean, my God, how about this one? FBI documents associate internet slang like based red pill with extremism. We also know that the FBI was keeping a list of parents that were speaking out at school board meetings. Right. So you go to a school board meeting and you ask questions about pornography being in your eight-year-old's classroom in second grade. And you get put on an FBI watch list because somehow you're now a domestic terrorist. I mean, that's outrageous. The stuff that the FBI is doing is outrageous. And the Republicans are co-sponsoring bills that beef up the surveillance state. It's truly insane what's going on.
What I think is a little bit even scarier to me, Glenn, I've said this a lot recently, as much as we pick on politicians and we pick on government agencies, what's even scarier to me is how many people will continue to vote for this stuff and don't see a problem with it. Yeah. Now, I know a lot of these leftists, it's working in their favor right now, but how can you seriously vote for this stuff or think this is okay, no matter what side of the aisle you're on? Like, what happens when it flips? What happens if Donald Trump's in office and he did something like that that said, hey, I'm just going to go after every leftist that I don't like? Like, it's a really slippery slope and it's scary, and people continue to vote for it and see no problem with it.
Well, they're voting for it and see no problem with it because it's right now going after the other side. So right. It's going after their political enemies. But when that government machine turns on Antifa because their useful time is over, when that government machine decides that they no longer want you homeless folks in the streets that are drug addicts, they're going to come through, they're going to gather you up, and they're going to stick you in some sort of fenced and enclosed camp where you're now going to live for the rest of your days if you're allowed, right? That's where this goes, okay? Is eventually they turn the fire hose on the leftists too. Okay, it always happens that way. If you just go, this is the problem though with not teaching history, right? We didn't teach history at all, you know, as far as what we're talking about in classrooms today anymore. The history we're teaching is not the real history. The history we're teaching is America is bad, and the world would be better off without America. We do evil things everywhere. Do we do evil things? Yeah, of course. Every government does. That's why we advocate for smaller government, right? But what would the world look like in the absence of a free America, right? What did the world look like before 1776, right? If the British decided that they were going to levy a tax, then that was tax was levied. You didn't have any representation. You couldn't vote for anybody. You had elites, government nobles, right, that owned the land. They owned the whole kingdom. You didn't own your land in Europe. You didn't own your land in Britain, right? You didn't own anything. You were allowed to work the land, of which half of it was going to be given to the kingdom for the lazy folks that were royalty that were born with the right name behind them but didn't actually lift a finger to do anything, right? Some kings were better than others. Some royalty was better than others. You know, in England, they're coordinating another king over there. They're still worshiping royalty. For what royalty there did to the peasants and the people, you would think that they would have razed Buckingham Palace to the ground. Right. But no, they're still worshiping it. Right. Even in this country, ABC News, we can't do any bad. You know, we can't talk about Jeffrey Epstein because he won't get any more. Who cares? It's insanity. But prior to this country, that's what you had. You had rich nobles, right, connected, wealthy with the right name behind the royal class. And you had peasants that toiled in the fields that owned nothing, that just worked to live. You worked if you stopped working, you stopped eating. That's how it worked. Right.
I mean, at times, though, Glenn, it does feel like not that we're at that point, but that's kind of what's happening with a lot of the elite in our country now,
well,
right?
Exactly.
They're allowed to do things.
We're right back to there. So this country was founded on the principles of, you had the opportunity to, for the first time, own your own land. This land was your land. You could own this piece of land here, right? The government was divvying up after, you know, in the settlement of this country, was divvying up plots of land. You had the Great Migration West. You know, there's all movies about it where the, you know, where folks went west because they had the opportunity to claim land as their own. And some of those dynasties and those family legacies, you know, still live on to this day in land that they settled, you know, in the mid 1800s or early 1800s or even in the 18th century, 1700s, right? But prior to 1776 and prior to the founding of this country, you didn't have land ownership. You weren't, you know, the fruits of your labors weren't yours. They were the kingdom's. Well, this country changed that. This country created that middle class through private property ownership, through the ability to own your own land and for you to decide what you did with that land, whether it was milk cows or beef cows or corn or soybeans, whatever you decided, that was your decision to make, live or die by that decision. And then you could sell those goods because you owned those goods to other people. And that's what ultimately created our free market capitalism system, was that free market trade with each other. Now, what did that system create? You know, for those that say, well, it's a flawed system. Yeah, of course it's a flawed system. There's no perfect system, right? But what did that system create? Well, it created the largest middle class in the world in America, right? It created more wealth in a short span of 200 years than had been created in the previous 2,000 years. It created more innovation and technology in those 200 years. Again, that were created in the previous 2,000, right? Outside of maybe the Roman Empire, right? So, you know, the things that free market capitalism created, you know, the ability for people to take their own capital, take their own risks with their own investments, you know, people like Henry Ford, who had the opportunity to go out and fail, go out and raise more money, try again, you know, creating the assembly line, you know, Edison, right? These are the great thinkers, Rockefeller, right? The railroads, oil. I mean, my God, the pioneers of the 19th century and, the, you know, going back to the founding of this country. But none of that happens without a free America and private property ownership, right? None of that happens. And now we're going back the other way, to your point.
And here's the other problem. Not only are we going back to that point, but we're also going back. We're starting this new, like, if you're successful, you're a moron, right? Like, you're a bad human being if you try and be successful. I think that, Glenn, we talked about mental health in the morning show, too, and I think this is one of the things for me that drives me the most insane. We are teaching kids that hard work is crap. Yeah. We are teaching kids that giving an effort is stupid, right? You shouldn't do that. Just go along to get along. Take your free paycheck, right?
Well, they're all looking for their golden egg. They're all looking for their, oh, if I could just get that one TikTok video, you know, I could be famous. You know, hey, maybe I could cut off a body part and that will put me on a beer can. Like, that's, again, there's the problem, right? This is where we're going as a society, sadly.
And that's what's horrible. And that's a whole generation of people. And I know you said earlier, Glenn, well, it's 50-50. I don't disagree with you, but I also think the more you promote being a lazy sack of crap, the less productive society is going to be as a whole, which is going to hurt everybody. I mean, we say this all the time. Loma says it. What, 59 million people on welfare in this country?
Yeah.
That's not a winning formula.
No. Well, productivity has been stagnant now for the last several years. I mean, we need some serious productivity gains in this country. A lot of that comes through technology. But, you know, when you know the government, again, you know, they manipulate the numbers. So, unemployment's great, less than 4%. But when you have to look at the labor participation rate, right? The unemployment rate, what people don't realize, and they should, is that it only counts people looking for work. There's a whole bunch of people that have dropped out of the workforce that are no longer looking, that are no longer counted as part of that unemployment figure, okay? So if you look at the labor participation rates, they're still fairly low by historical standards, which means that there's a lot of people that could work that choose not to work. And that's an ever-growing class in this country. To your point, we're getting back to royalty and peasants. We're getting back to elite, you know, connected class. You got the right last name. Oh, you're a Clinton. You're a Bush. You're a whatever. You know, you're a Kennedy. Pick the name, right? Put the right name behind them. And you are royalty now. You're going back to Washington over and over and over again, right? You're the entrenched. They enrich themselves at the expense of everybody else, and everybody else is peasants. You don't own your land anymore. You don't really own your – you do, but do you really have the right to do on your land what you want? Or do you have to go apply for permits that somebody gives you permission to do that, right? how many regulations govern your land, especially in places like New York? And at the federal level, they made it so hard with the EPA rules, again, a bureaucracy, unelected bureaucracy, that in some states it was nearly impossible to build a pond on your own land, right?
Well, Glenn, you know my situation with putting a dock in the water in front of my house.
It's crazy.
Can't do it.
It's why? I mean, how could you not put a dock in? I mean, that's you live on the river.
I don't know.
House has a dock.
Yep, not allowed to.
Not allowed to put docks in anymore.
No.
Really? It's unsafe.
It has to be a temporary dock only, and I have to get a permit for it.
So there's a good point. So there you go, right? So even when everybody else has docks, but now some bureaucrat decided that now we're going to have this extra special rule. So, you know, then you have property taxes, which is the real kicker, right? Do you really own your land? No, because you have to you're leasing your land essentially from the federal government now, or the state government, right? You're leasing your land from the government because ultimately, if you don't pay, they're taking it. If you don't pay your taxes, they're taking your land. They're going to put a tax lien against it. They're going to seize it. They're going to foreclose on it. Then they're going to sell it. They're going to take their money. So who really owns your land? Do you own it or does the government own it? Right. In Canada, you know, I used to go up north a lot to these fishing trips, these fly-in trips, these drive-in trips, these great walleye lakes, you know, Lac Susie and Lake Berthelot, these fantastic resorts up there, just wonderful places, great fishing, total wilderness, right?
Yep.
But all these camps, you know, these hunting camps, these fishing camps, they're all on 99-year leases because the Canadian government says, no, this land is too precious. We're not selling this land. We, as the federal government, we own this land, but we'll allow you to have a 99-year lease. And I thought to myself, well, that's ridiculous. Why would you lease the land for 99 years? You'll never be able to pay that off. And I always thought it was the dumbest thing growing up. I always thought, God, I was so dumb. I don't understand how I couldn't fathom having a lease where I had to pay somebody always and I never really owned it. But then I'm like, wait a minute now. Isn't that how we're structured?
Yep.
I mean, if you don't pay your property taxes, how long is your lease? Your lease it's not even a 99-year lease. It's your life. It's for whoever owns that property. If you're not paying your property taxes to the federal government, part of it's for school. What if you don't have kids in school? I don't have kids in the Alden School District. I pay all the taxes, right? The school district is a government entity, right? So again, I don't really own my property. A government owns the property. I just lease it by paying my property taxes. Because if I stop paying, I stop owning, right?
Not to mention you get whacked if you do anything right with income tax as well. So you get double the taxation there. I mean, you know, again, Glenn, you've had a successful business in New York for many years. When you lived in New York, you got. I mean, they're not trying to. And that's what I think. This is another story, Glenn. I think you sent it in the group chat yesterday about how many people are leaving Democrat-run states or cities, and how many people are going to Republican-run states and cities.
I'm sorry.
New York is not learning its lesson.
No,
right? They keep taxing the shit out of people. They keep increasing, you know, welfare. They keep doing things all the wrong way. And then New York, what was it, the three counties in New York, Glenn? It was like 200,000 people in a year and a half have left to go to Republican states because they don't want to get killed anymore. They're paying high property tax. They're paying high income tax.
Yeah.
They can't do it anymore.
Well, and a lot of it's about the freedom. We talked about that earlier. You know, I'm saying this. If you live in a city, get out. I mean, cities are no longer safe. You in liberal cities and liberal states with liberal DAs, you no longer have the rights to defend yourself, period. If you defend yourself, you have a likely possibility of yourself going to jail or your family and your wealth being destroyed. So you can't defend yourself. If you have the ability to get to a free state, get to a free state now. And I mean that. If you have even if it's a sacrifice, hey, I got a great job right now. I don't want to change jobs. There are plenty of jobs in Texas and Florida.
Yep.
New York is no longer a free state. California is not a free state. They're releasing criminals and they're prosecuting citizens. Okay, you have a DA, Alvin Bragg, who literally has released violent criminals and declined to prosecute things like gun charges, violent assaults. No problem for Alvin Bragg. Goes after an accounting error for President Trump. Right? Don't think it can't happen to you. Right, you're outspoken.
And now he's suing Jim Jordan too, Glenn.
Right, I don't even. Can you sue a congressperson for oversight? I don't think you can.
I don't know. This guy's
out of control. Right. I mean, seriously. So Jim Jordan comes on and goes, "Well, the Congress is going to investigate." Congress has every right to do that. The federal Congress has the oversight ability, as far as I understand. a state prosecutor has no right to sue a congressperson for something like that. But these people are out of control. And the problem is these new crops of leftists coming out of places like Georgetown are going to be the next judges that say, oh, yeah, Alvin Bragg can sue a sitting congressperson. Oh, good. We're in serious trouble. Yeah. Meanwhile, George Soros' son is visiting the White House every single week now. How many visits has he had to the White House? That evil son of a bitch he is. These people, I hope they rot in hell. I really do. Because Soros and his son are truly evil. They really are.
And you look at, Glenn, how many times did they say Hunter Biden's business partners were visiting the White House as well? The ones that were funneling money to him and Joe?
Dozens.
I think it was like 44 times or something
times,
like that.
Yep.
You know, and I think, Glenn, we bring up, we both own a business, and well, together we own a business, and you also own a second business in New York. What's crazy when you think about us is, at a certain point, if our clientele keeps leaving New York State, which, by the way, it is, right? I have clients every single week of the year that are leaving New York State to move to Florida, the Carolinas, Texas, whatever it may be. At a certain point, you're going to have business owners like us say, yeah, we're going to leave too, right? We're out of here too. New York is not only going to lose a ton of population, as they already are, they're losing businesses. Wall Street, Loma says it all the time now, right? What is it, Palm Beach is the mecca for the new Wall Street, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you can't survive when you actually lose your taxpayers and you lose your payroll tax because businesses are getting out of here. I don't know what their solution is. Is it a government bailout? Is that the solution always?
Yeah, that's exactly what will happen. They're just going to continue to spend money to oblivion. They'll take it from you. They'll just take more. That's the problem. When you have the power to take other people's money, they're just going to take it. There's no – if you had the power, Mike, if you had the legitimate power to basically just magically suck money out of people's bank accounts, let's say, what would your limits be? Would you buy yourself a yacht? Would you buy yourself a mansion? Would you drop off a $10,000 envelope to that building inspector so you can get your dock built? Would you hire an attorney just to fight it for you? You could do anything you wanted to do. Money wouldn't be an option, right? Because you have an unlimited supply of money by just simply taking it out of people's bank accounts. Think if you had that ability. That's what the federal government has. They have the ability. Not only do they have the ability, they don't even need to take it. They can just spend it first, Mike. And that's the real trick here, see, is that as Keith Ellison said it best, he was the a state representative at the time, then eventually went on to be a DNC chair. And I think now he's actually the DA, the state district attorney in that state. But Keith Ellison said it best years ago. He said, we're not poor. It's not like the government's broke. We got plenty of money. It's just that the government doesn't have it yet. Meaning that we as a community, as a society, there's plenty of wealth in our country. It's in private hands, right? It's in our clients' hands. It's in my hands, in your hands, right? We own that wealth because we invested in things like buildings and houses and cars and, you know, not cars, but investments and real estate, you know, Tesla, stocks and things like that, businesses, right? You create wealth, right? But when he said the country has plenty of money, it's just that the government doesn't have it yet. From that point forward became the playbook of, wait a minute, we don't have to take it first and then spend it. We can spend it first and then worry about taking it later. And that's essentially what they've done. So it's not like you have a ability to suck whatever money out of people's bank accounts. You do. But in addition to that, Mike, you don't even have to worry about picking their bank account or picking their pocket. Because very simply, you have a credit card that just happens to go back to their house. And that's they get the bill. So you can, and it has no limit. So you can spend on that credit card as long as you want with no consequences of that bill ever coming to you. And that's what our federal government, you know, Milton Friedman, God, we need some conservatives like Milton Friedman. What would they say about Milton Friedman today? They would be nasty. He was the nicest guy in the world, Milton Friedman, smartest, best economist of the century. But he said it best when he said there's only four ways that you can spend money. And when you spend money on yourself, you can spend money on yourself, right? In which case, cost and quality are both important, right? You're spending money on yourself. Yep. The cost of the product is important. The quality is important because you're spending your own money on yourself. You can spend your own money on somebody else. Cost is important. Quality less so, right? You can spend other people's money on yourself, right? You can take the boss's credit card, go out to lunch. Quality becomes very important. Cost doesn't matter. And then finally, you can spend other people's money on other people. And neither cost nor quality matter at all. And that's what the federal government does. It spends other people's money on other people. Look at the education system. It's a disaster. Do you think Obama's kids went to public school? Do you think Lindsey Graham's grandkids go to public school? Do you think AOC's future maybe kids, if she ever actually can find a husband, are going to go to public? No. They're not going to the garbage that they created because the outcomes, the quality was is crap. The cost
don't
is outrageous.
Safety, though.
The cost is outrageous, the quality is crap, right?
Yep.
That's
yep.
the essential government spending of other people's money on other people. Neither cost nor quality matter at all. And you know, that's a big part of where we're at in the country is that these government officials are just spending money. They don't care what the outcomes are. It doesn't matter. More money. Look at even this. Locally, Mark Poloncarz, what a nice guy he is. He's going to repurpose $20 million of COVID aid. So the money that we had to have in COVID aid to save businesses, right, to make sure that nobody died, to go buy PPE because we didn't have any emergency stuff. Oh, my God. Oh, we have $20 million extra money. How did that happen? Well, Gail didn't file enough overtime, Mark.
Do we get it back?
No. He's going to spend it on affordable housing. That's my point. He's repurposing. You're allowed to do that? So you can take federal money specifically for a COVID issue, for an emergency virus, and you didn't spend it all. So obviously you didn't need it. I was told that we couldn't get enough respirators. We were sure. Wait a minute. How are you still have 20 extra million? But now that we have it, we might as well spend it. Hey, Mark, how about sending it back to the federal government and the taxpayers that who put it in to begin with? How about taking that $20 million and giving it back to the community residents? No. They're going to repurpose $20 million of the COVID aid and create an affordable housing fund to incentivize new construction.
Yep.
Joke. So good, Mark. Do this. Go out and build $500,000 homes on the east side of Buffalo that will be worth $25,000 in 5 years after they take out all the piping and they strip out all the copper, all the wires, and you've got nothing left but the broken window, a shell of a place. Go do that with taxpayer money. I'm really glad that you had the COVID money you needed. To because it was such an emergency that you now have $20 million extra money. It's sickening is what it is.
And it is sickening, too, because you look at it. Look, what if the government essentially is a not-for-profit organization, or it should be, right? They should be spending money on things that we need and for the point of why you give them the taxes. That's what's even scary to me, Glenn. Imagine if you or I started a not-for-profit and our goal was to raise $5 million and we raised $10 million. And instead of giving the $10 million away, you and I said, we'll just split the extra $5 million.
We're going to repurpose it. To BLM did. I'm going to repurpose this money that's supposed to be going for inner city, help and equality. I'm just going to buy a mansion from. I'm going to repurpose this for my mortgage to pay this $6 million mansion for myself.
We can have meetings there though at the mansion, so that works.
It's crazy.
Yeah, I mean it's insane. And again, this is what people keep voting for, Glenn. You say it all the time, and you and Mike have talked about this, but this is what people keep voting for. And until they wake up and actually smell the coffee and understand what's going on. Mike and I did a show with Hayflick a couple weeks ago on Mark Poloncarz and Gail Burstein with Narcan, Glenn, and fentanyl testing kits. Because drug users are going to go to Rite Aid and grab the fentanyl testing kit before they shoot up.
So we're spending money now. We're spending money to promote, to say, listen, if you're a drug user, no problem. Stop at Erie County Hall. We'll give you this testing kit. And you'll be available to test your cocaine so that – because as Gail said, this isn't my grandmother's cocaine. Oh,
no,
I see,
no,
Gail,
no.
Right? Look it. I have no sympathy. If you're out there doing cocaine and you happen to get a nose full of fentanyl and you croak and you die, you know what I'm mad at? I'm mad at our elected officials for letting the border open. But don't make me now pay for your drug testing kits to make sure your illegal drugs are safe, okay? Maybe try doing something that's not illegal drugs. I don't know.
But, Glenn, they're not going to buy them. Again, go talk to a heroin user in San Francisco. That guy doesn't even know where he's going to get his lunch or breakfast from. You think he's going to go to Rite Aid to buy a testing kit?
I don't know.
It's never happening.
It's crazy. It's just a joke.
It's never happening.
It's a joke. It's just it's sad where we're at. Again, I'm happy to be in Florida. I'm happy that a lot of our clients are moving to Florida. I really think, though, now it's going to get worse. I mean, they've got away with stealing the 2020 election. They got away with stealing a lot of the elections in 2022. There's no question, right? I mean, come on. They had a dead guy won in Pennsylvania. I mean, seriously. Just so happens that, you know, Florida, where they fixed election laws, wins by 20%. But in Arizona, oh, you were so close. And the person who actually counts the votes is the one who literally was the person who won the race. Literally, right? You can't make that stuff up, folks. So you know Arizona was stolen. But now that they've stolen these elections, you know, New York, you will never win another governorship in New York unless they want it to happen. Unless they say, you know what, we'll give you a token just to make it look okay. We will never, ever, 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 I don't care if the candidate is Jesus Christ himself, there's no chance in hell, because they have messed up the voting rolls so bad. There's so many millions. These elections are won in some cases in Florida by 8,000 votes. In New York, the election was won by just a couple hundred thousand votes. And yet,
yep.
3 million records we have, we know, were bad votes. 3 million, right?
Yep.
That's easily 10 times more than you need to sway the election. So they really have it padded well. There's no way that you will be allowed, the Republican will ever be allowed to win the governorship in New York. So what does that mean for New York? Well, it means that it's only downhill from here. It doesn't get better. There is no pendulum to swing. It's just a matter of how much worse is it going to get, how fast. You know,
yep.
Your taxes will be going up. Your fees will be going up. Your regulations will be increasing. Your life expectancy, by the way, is also down in New York. Right? Especially amongst the African Americans. I love this, right? Well, it was COVID. That's funny, because in Florida, the life expectancy of African Americans didn't go down the most. In fact, it was the same as everybody else's. So what happened in New York that affected African Americans' life expectancy so much worse than anybody else? But the fact that life expectancy is down in New York is sad to begin with. But it doesn't get better unless you know, you have election reform and they actually reform the vote, which will never happen because the Democrats run that too. Look at even in Erie County. Now, I don't like what's his name, whatever the guy, Moses Olan, I can't think of his name, but, you know, he threw his hat in the race.
McMurray.
Yeah. He threw his hat in the race very briefly, right? And then he pulled his hat out of the race. Like, I can't do it. And honestly, I don't agree with his stances on it. I think the guy's a lunatic, but he's right about one thing, and that is he's got no shot because the guy who's the election commissioner in Erie County is Mark Poloncarr's buddy. So what do you think is going to happen? He needs 10,000 signatures. He'll walk in with 20. Oh, boy. If you just had three more, Nate, it looks like you came just a little bit short. You had 9,997 valid signatures. We had to throw out the other 10,003. Sorry. It's happened repeatedly, right? So Nate knows the system is rigged. There's no question. Mark's buddy is the Erie County election guy. Nate knows that his petitions are going to be, you know, scrutinized to the point where he's probably going to have a really hard time even getting on the ballot. What's the point? He's right about that.
Imagine if they took voter ID that serious. We'd be a lot better off here.
So you want to talk about a platform. I mean, very simply, one of the very simple things that you can do is require ID. The problem that I have is that you have states that are Republican run with Republican legislatures. Where are you guys? What are you waiting for? What are you doing? Republicans in Congress, impeach the president. What are you waiting for? You have enough evidence that we are the ones who blew up the pipeline, the Russian Nord Stream, whatever it was, pipeline, right? You have evidence that money is being laundered to the president. The Pentagon just, you know, leaked information. What is that? It's a disaster. You have all kinds of reasons to impeach this guy, not to mention his son. Why haven't you started that yet?
I don't get the you bring up the voter ID one, Glenn. I don't get why that is not, first off, universally accepted that we need a form of identification to vote. I mean, you need it for everything, bank accounts, investment accounts, going on a plane, buying beer, buying cigarettes, whatever. But not only that, like you said, in red states, how are these laws not being pushed in every red state at the very minimum and every normal blue state? I get why New York doesn't do it. They want to crumble. It's California, the same thing. But not all blue states are as blue as New York and California. Why is this not a thing we talk about?
I don't know.
It went away.
It's just because the Republicans have no backbone and they're worried about, you know, the Democrats again and with their media accomplices. You're a denier. They label you. You're racist. You're a misogynist. You're a transphobe. Everyone's afraid to be labeled. I'm not afraid to be labeled. You know, you want to call me a transphobe? Call me a transphobe. Am I afraid of trans people? No. Am I afraid of what they might do to other kids? Yes. So in that capacity, okay, you want to call me? I don't care what they call me, but a lot of Republicans do. Republicans don't want to be called certain things, right? They don't want to be called election deniers. They don't want to be looked at as some sort of a heretic that doesn't believe. Oh, my God. I'll play a montage. I'll find it. I mean, how every election going back to the 90s, they have denied. every election result, Al Gore is still saying he should have been president. I mean, my God, folks, they've honestly, you know, it's not like this is the first time anybody's ever said, you know, this doesn't seem right. They said it when Trump won. Remember? When Trump won, Russia did it. It was because of Russia. Trump didn't win a legitimate election. It was because of Russian disinformation. It was because Russia took over Twitter. It's because Russia spent $100,000 on ads. It was so Trump wouldn't have won on his own. He didn't win. He stole the election because Russia helped him win. Not a shred of evidence there, right? Meanwhile, on the other side, geez, when was the last time we ever stopped counting votes? Never. Ever. 10 o'clock? Oh, seems like it's time to go home and go to bed. We'll come back in the morning. Like, what the hell is that? Right? When Trump was elected in 2016, they counted until 3 o'clock in the morning. I couldn't believe it. Like, we got to find more. What do we got? We got to keep looking. Keep looking. What do we got? What do we got? We could get. We'll find enough for Hillary. But they couldn't. They scrambled all night. They looked until 2 o'clock. And then remember all the pundits on TV. They were shocked. Oh, my God. I can't believe this happened. This wasn't supposed to happen. We were told this wouldn't happen. We were assured it was Hillary. We were told this wouldn't happen. Oh, my God, it happened. They couldn't believe it, right? I can't believe this wasn't supposed to happen, right? Well, it wouldn't happen again. They made sure of that, right? But I got video. I've seen it. I've seen the video. I've seen the tracking data of the 2,000 mules that went repeatedly and stuffed things in the, right? They're going to prosecute Trump for this next crime, right? When the indictments, these indictments fail, it'll be the next one. The next one's going to be, he called the Georgia state and he said, you go find more votes. Go find, he meant like the Democrats did. Go roll out a suitcase, whatever. I don't know what he meant. I don't care what he meant. The fact of the matter is that I'm going to say that the election of 2020 was stolen. 100%. If you want to call me a denier, you call me whatever you want. I'm telling you, I watched video of people stuffing ballots in the same boxes repeatedly. I saw whatever her name was, the Georgia that she still thinks she's governor, Stacey Abrams on TV say, I've already gathered over 800,000 ballots in a state where ballot harvesting is illegal. Oh, you did you? Right? I watched a video of them rolling out suitcases after they shut down the polls in Atlanta. And then proceeding to run all these ballots through. I watched video of them putting plastic and a paper up, covering windows so that legitimate poll watchers couldn't watch. Why would they be concerned about poll watchers whose legitimate job is to ensure the integrity of the vote? Why were they not allowed to watch the vote? Who called the shots to shut down voting in all six states? At the same, almost simultaneous time. Only the six swing states that they needed. Right? No. You call me a denier all you want. But I'm telling you, my eyes don't lie. You lie. Right? You politicians lie. Government officials lie. Right? We're not running guns to Mexico. That's preposterous. We subpoenaed records. We have them here. It's called Fast and Furious. Your name's on here, too. Look, see, you signed this here, Mr. Attorney General, piece of garbage, right?
Well, Glenn, I think what's even crazier is, I mean, the video's there, of course, like you said. The evidence is there, photos, videos, whatever. But we're talking about a guy that can't fill a high school gymnasium. And I know rallies aren't everything, but the guy can't fill a high school gymnasium. Barack Obama, as much as we all dislike Obama, disagree with Obama, you could understand that guy getting 75, 80 million votes. He had a huge following and a huge base. Glenn, this guy got 80 more votes than Barack Obama, and he can't fill a high school gymnasium, and he didn't even campaign.
No, he did not.
I just don't buy it.
He did not. What he said was, we have assembled the largest and most extensive voter fraud operation in American history. When Joe Biden said that was not a Freudian slip. What was a Freudian slip? I don't know what he meant to say. I think he actually was meant to. I think he thought he was talking to donors. I think he thought he was talking to an inner circle. I don't think he realized who he was really on the phone with. I don't think he realized that was a recorded meeting, right? I don't think it was a Freudian slip. I think he meant what he said. He was telling his inner circle, "We got this in the bag. Don't you worry, because we have this. We have it all, from voting machines to wrong size ballots to stuffing
social
ballot
media.
Boxes to social media." Think about this: just a Hunter Biden story. The New York Times comes out with a bombshell Hunter Biden laptop case and social media, by orders of the FBI, shut it down. Sadly, it was Trump's FBI. That's the thing. Yep. It was Trump who that's what drives me nuts. If Trump does the job of eliminating the FBI, then there's not an FBI to send over, you know, the demands to Facebook and Twitter to say, don't you dare put this on. Nothing about the yep. We believe it's Russian disinformation. Don't put it out there. OK. Yep. Sadly, I'll wrap with this. I don't think we realize, you know, as Ronald Reagan said it best, we are only ever one generation from liberty going extinct. Okay, and freedom going extinct. And this is the honest to God truth, folks. We are only ever one generation. Sadly, I hope that time has not passed with these last two generations of socialists that we've created. But let me just read you a little bit of the timeline of Venezuela for a second, okay? In 1992, Venezuela became the wealthiest country in South America, okay? They became the third richest country in the hemisphere once they started to produce their own oil. In 1997, they became the second largest purchasers of F-150s, okay? So, you know, wealthy, middle class, things going great. Then you have this agitator, Hugo Chavez, a lot like Barack Obama, right? You can't, you got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else did that for you. And he agitated the poor, right? And he whipped up the masses, right? And in 2001, they voted for him. They voted for the socialist president, Hugo Chavez, who ran mainly on a platform of income inequality. In 2004, they privatized the health care, made it completely socialized. In 2007, all higher education became free. But in 2009, they banned private ownership of all the guns. In 2012, Bernie Sanders praised their American dream. In 2014... opposition leaders are imprisoned. By 2016, food healthcare shortages become widespread. In 2017, the Constitution and the elections are completely suspended. In 2019, unarmed citizens are being massacred by their own government. And that has been going on now for the last 4 years. How many articles and stories have you heard about Venezuela in the last bunch of years? Yep. Sadly, a lot of those refugees that are showing up at our southern border deserve asylum in our country for how bad Venezuela has gotten. They don't have medicine on the shelves. They don't have food in the grocery stores. Some of the towns in Venezuela have power only for a few hours a week. Some only have running fresh water once a week. Some not at all. Some only get power for a few days a month. Okay? This is how Venezuelans are living now. For 2 years in a row, the Venezuelan people lost an average of 19 pounds each. Could you imagine?
Yep.
And here we're praising socialism, and we're speeding headlong towards it. And these idiots that are coming out of school, I might be the one that dons the microphone, Mike, and starts to hit these college campuses to really just highlight the stupidity of some of these kids, really, because they're just flat out dumb, half of them.
I think what's worse, too, is the people that they praise, like AOC, right, that pushes this message, is a capitalist.
Well,
she's a capitalist. She makes $50 a sweatshirt.
Right. Right. She's dumber than dirt. I don't even think she realizes she's a capitalist. She is dumber than dirt, right? I mean, it's just crazy. So, I look at these Buffalo News things. Thruway rest area rebuilds weren't supposed to cost taxpayers. Oh, but the contractors, well, they want a $260 million bailout. Okay, good. That's great. Who was a contractor?
I said this.
Was that Simonelli? Simonelli getting the money again? How many more hundreds of millions do they need, Simonelli? Good Lord.
I said this on the morning show, speaking of New York. We have some good news to pass along. You no longer need to be vaccinated to go to a SUNY school. So, yay, New York. We figured it out.
It's too late now. I mean, you know, you've already poisoned half these kids. You know, yep. It's sad. Yep. And by the way, we're out of time, but, you know, 220-some thousand excess deaths last year in 2022. 220, zero excess deaths in 2020 and 2021. When I say excess deaths, there's an average death per year. Then you have what they call standard deviations, right? One standard deviation, two standard deviations. We're at like 15 standard deviations, which is like 1 in 1,000 year outside of the range of norm, right? Something's going on, and you know, I hope that they actually legitimately start to look at it at some point. But again, if doctors had the ability to run their own practices, they would look into it. When the bureaucrats are the ones that determine what they get to look into, they get to fill out paperwork. So it is what it is. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to do it for us. I want to say this show today was brought to you in part by Home and Auto. Give us 14 minutes. We'll shop over 25 companies to save you money. Mike does a much better job of doing the plugs throughout the show. I'm lousy at it, so I got to get better at it for sure. Also brought to you in part by TFG Insurance Agency, which handles your Medicare and your life insurance, or not life insurance, health insurance, group health, individual health, and of course Medicare if you're over 65. Got to have it, folks. So government tells you you got to
have life insurance.
We do have life insurance too. That's a different part of the company. I guess we can all these companies, you know, help to sponsor all the companies help to sponsor the shows and the podcasts and whatnot. So if you do need us throughout the week, folks, if you want to interview us, if you want to find out more about our businesses, if you think like us, only if you think like us. I love the tweets I get from people. So you telling me that if I came in and I had $4 million, but I told you I was transgender, you wouldn't take me? Yes. Yes, that's what I mean. That's what I mean. If I walked in and you're telling me I had $10 million, but I'm wearing a Bernie Sanders button or a Joe Biden, but I voted for you. No, I'm not taking you. You're not coming out as a client. You're just not.
Glenn, I had a debate on Twitter. You know how I'm very active on Twitter now. I had a debate with this guy. This lady was saying, well, what I don't understand the difference between the cancel culture and the, I guess we'll call it selective buying, right? Canceling somebody or boycotting somebody. And I said, there's a huge difference. Republicans aren't calling to cancel Bud Light. They're just calling to not buy Bud Light's products, right? Yeah. It's two totally different things. The left can't comprehend that. She was like dumbfounded. I'm like, my business does it too. We work with certain people that think like us and that want to work with us. Simple as that.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not boycotting or it's not canceling. It's boycotting. Well, I just won't buy the product.
I'm glad you brought that up because I talked about this on Saturday when it came. There was a bookstore in Rochester that they moved this trans drag show for kids from the community center because people in the community were outraged and the community center, and rightfully so, was saying, no, we want you got to spend like $8,000 on security. They wouldn't do it. So they moved it to a local bookstore where they're going to be doing, drag queen story hour for kids. Now, what the left would do, the cancel culture is, I say the name of the bookstore on the radio, even though it was the top of the hour news. It was right there on Wham in Rochester, because that's the station we originate from on radio. It was right there. Here's the name of the bookstore. I didn't re-say it. I didn't tell anybody to boycott it. I probably won't go there and buy books. I probably won't do business with them because they're not like-minded to me. But the cancel culture, what the left does is they put out messages to their friends. They start hanging up flyers. They start gathering their group to send death threats. They start attacking the websites with these cyber attacks. They will show up and throw a brick through the window. They will stand outside and shout down any potential customers. They will do everything they can to harass the business owner and their customers to the point where they will shut down that business. That's their goal. My goal is not to shut down Budweiser. So we talk about my goals are to shut down the NFL. I could care less what the NFL does. They're just not getting my money anymore. I'm not going. I'm not supporting those types of things. I'm not supporting those types of businesses. Okay. It doesn't mean that I want Budweiser and their employees to all go out of business and suffer. The left does. The left wants you destroyed. The left wants your business to be burnt to the ground. The left wants you put in jail for your thoughts of what you believe in. The left wants your family absolutely obliterated. That's what they want. They want your kids harassed. They want your life destroyed. They want your life ruined. They want your business completely razed to the ground. That's what they want. What the right wants is, you know what? We're just going to do business with like-minded people. So I'm not going to buy Budweiser anymore, right? But I'm not going out there saying, everybody needs to boycott Budweiser. I'm just not going to buy it. Do I think you should buy it? No, I don't think you should buy it either. I think Budweiser should feel it in their pocketbook for sure, because otherwise these businesses will never change. But it doesn't matter if they go back now. It doesn't matter if they apologize. I'm done now with Budweiser. They've lost me for life. If more of us were like me, we wouldn't be kneeling anymore in the NFL. There wouldn't be a black national anthem being sung at the Super Bowl or whatever that is.
But Glenn, the other thing too is, I said this to this person on Twitter. I say this all the time. Budweiser has every right to do what they want to do. If that's who you want to pander to, then pander to them. That's your business. If your business crumbles, that's your fault.
Yeah,
but
go for it.
But that's your choice. Just like our choice is to work with people like us.
I'm just not going
to
support it. So if you think like us.
You're right.
Don't pull the, I'm going to go in and I'm going to force you to work with me because I'm a baker kind of thing. I would shut down the business. I'll go do something else. I've got 10 different companies, so I don't need, I'll just go start another business. I'll go be a baker. I don't care. I mean, Mike and I are entrepreneurs. So, how long did we started Home and Auto how many years ago? Four?
About three, four years ago.
Yep. We're one of the largest agencies in Western New York. How many clients used a home and auto company? How many?
About 2,000.
Medicare was started about a year or two before home and auto. They have over 3,000 customers. Okay, so there's a demand for like-minded people. We're serving that demand. You know, we're serving that niche. If you think like us, if you're conservative in nature, and you believe in those types of principles, then you know we're probably a good firm for you. Feel free to use us as a resource. Go to our website, thefinancialguys.com, or call our office 833-FIN-GUYS, where you can access our home and auto, our Medicare, our wealth management team, our financial planning team. We have different experts in different areas, whether it be college planning, Social Security planning. We have certified estate planners and so on and so forth. So if you think like us, feel free to use us as a resource. We're happy to help. Give us a call at the office at 833-FIN-GUYS. That's gonna do it for us, Mike. I could do this show all day long, honest to God. I've got so many topics here.
We probably should one day.
I've got so much here. I mean, so much we're not even getting to. Just amazing. It's just, Florida, by the way, I'll just end with this, a good news piece, ramping up executions. A guy's going to be executed this Wednesday for the killing of a 1989 slaying of a couple visiting from New Jersey. So in Florida, they are eliminating the criminals, putting them to death for murderers. In New York, they're releasing them. See the difference? Big difference.
Glenn, I've said this for the last thing I'll say, and I promise we can end it, but I've said this about fentanyl drug dealers in the United States. Death penalty should be on the table in every single
100%.
State. You want to stop the fentanyl crisis? Put death penalty back on the table or life in prison without parole. Simple as that.
Right.
If you want to deal fentanyl, that's what you get.
That's right. It's crazy. The amazing thing, I'm just talking, I'm looking at stuff online. The ignorance of the young folks like David Hogg are just shocking. It's like, well, if gun laws don't work, why don't
I know exactly.
Look at Australia. Yeah, look at Australia. I just used them as the example. So the choice is give up all your guns, give up all your freedoms, or we could simply harden those targets so that you can't just walk in with a gun. I don't know. So let's see. Should I give up all of my freedoms so that the government can tell me how far I can travel from my home and lock me in a COVID camp so that we never have a school shooting? Or can I send that next $1 billion package that's going to Ukraine to the states to fortify their schools with armed security? I mean, it would seem like an easier choice to me. But to your point about fentanyl, yes, we need to start putting to death these drug dealers and prosecuting criminals and not prosecuting and going after good people like David Hogg wants to do. David Hogg wants all guns eliminated. That's it. Get them all. Yeah. Your rights be damned as long as he feels safer. He's another hustler, right? Look at this kid now. We're gonna elevate this kid to the hero. Yep. He got into Harvard because of his political viewpoint on guns, not because of his quality of schoolwork. There's some Asian kid that didn't get that opportunity because David Hogg hated guns, right? Sickening is what it is. Now, the other guy who I think is part of the TPUSA now, the other guy who was a very famous guy that came out of that tragedy in Parkland, you never hear from him anymore. He doesn't get any sort of media coverage whatsoever. So that's the way it rolls, folks. That's the way it rolls. But do me a favor, if you want to help fight the good fight, you know, share this podcast, you know, share it with your friends, give us a like, subscribe to it, and then check out our morning show. We're trying to get the morning show going Monday through Friday, live on Twitter. Right now it's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, every 8 to 9. No, it's not available for replay. If you miss it from 8 to 9, you miss it. And I had a great time this morning, so don't miss Friday morning and don't miss next week either. Every Monday, Wednesday, Friday. And of course, check us out on Saturdays as well if that's something you haven't heard before. 25 years on radio. I got to be honest, this is probably my last one on radio, so I think I'm going to hang it up after 25 years and go out on top. We are the number one rated business and financial talk show in Western New York by far for decades. But, you know, like Michael Jordan, I'd rather go out, you know, at the top of the of my game and focus on the podcast, not go out where they're like, and by the way, that's some of these stations. You look at talk radio in this country, and some of these companies now are their penny stocks. I mean, they're trading as for a dime, a nickel, 17 cents. It's crazy. So I don't know how long that can last.
Go broke, Glenn.
Go woke, go broke. That's right. Anyway, all right. On behalf of Mike Lomas, thank you, Mike Spiraza, straight white Mike, he, him, and heterosexual Glenn. I'll be back on Saturday here on the Financial Guys Media Network. Thanks.
Any rebroadcast, reproduction, or other use of this show without the express written consent of the Financial Guys, LLC is strictly prohibited.